Welcome to episode 4 of the Aviation Fundamentals podcast. My name is Dr. Suzanne Kearns, and in this episode, we're going to explore a specific topic area that's in the textbook. So if you have the textbook at home, which is Fundamentals of International Aviation, you can reference page 70 of the book in chapter 3. Table 3.1 explores the licensing of aviation professionals, but we're going to specifically look at pilot licensing. So in the pilot licensing table, we can see that there is the private pilot license, the commercial pilot license, the airline transport pilot license, and then the multi-crew pilot license. But what's not intuitive when you're reading the book is the idea that the multi-crew pilot license, or the MPL, is actually a very new license in aviation, and it's a direct reflection of the shortage of aviation professionals. So the MPL really is a competency-based license, and that can be a really big source of confusion for a lot of people. So what is competencies, and what does that mean, and where did the MPL come from, and why did we even need a new type of license? So in this episode, we're going to explore some of those ideas. But I think before we really dive into what the MPL is, it's really important to discuss why it is. The aviation industry, which really is a crucial component of our global economy and way of life, is experiencing dramatic growth internationally. So the number of daily flights and passengers is projected to double in the next 15 years, while the actual number of professionals is going to be declining because of retirements and attrition. So that really creates a tremendous challenge across the entire industry. And they're projecting that this 2018, that by 2036, our industry is going to need 620,000 new pilots. 80% of those have not even begun training yet. So we're looking at young people in grade school and high school and hoping that they choose aviation as their career choice. So because of that, the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, has created the Next Generation of Aviation Professionals, or the NGAP program. So at ICAO, the NGAP program looks to recruit, educate, attract, and retain professionals in the aviation industry. Now, this is really a global priority for aviation, and the reason why it's a major challenge and why we need to look at training people a little differently is because the number of pilots our industry is going to need over the course of the coming years is actually greater than the global training capacity. So that really should cause you to stop and reflect and say, yush, well, what are we going to do? What is the solution? If we need more pilots, then the entire training industry is going to be capable of producing. And that's where we stop and we think about, is there a different way to train, license, and assess pilots? And that's really what the MPL is, or it represents a new idea of how we can do that. So it's important to think about traditional training. So if you look at Table 3.1, you'll see that for the private, commercial, and airline transport pilot license, the experience requirement is very much focused on the number of hours. So this is historically the way we've always measured experience for pilots. So pilots will diligently track every hour they fly in a logbook, and then their number of hours is used as one of the key determinations of when they're ready to be eligible for a license. The challenge is that when we need so many pilots, more than the global training industry is capable of producing, that when the entire training system is based on hours, there's no way to do it more quickly. That, of course, you fundamentally can't make hours go any faster. There's also a challenge because the reality is those training requirements are more than 100 years old, and they don't necessarily reflect everything we now know about how to teach, how people learn, and how to use advanced training technologies and training tools. So we need to think about, if we don't look at hours as the fundamental way of measuring experience, what else could we do? And I always sort of think about it as you're climbing a mountain. So if you ever see a mountain and you see the path that climbers will take to get to the peak of the mountain, it's kind of this zigzag back and forth process. And I sort of equate that to how we've traditionally had people gain experience. So whether you're earning a license or you've finished and you're sort of building hours up so you're eligible to work at an airline, that hours building process, a lot of it happens by chance. So maybe you encounter a challenge or weather, or through the course of experience and hours, you just happen upon these really key, important learning opportunities. But what the competency-based approach does is it says, is it possible to look at those learning experiences and extract them. And then we can line them up in a straight line. And you can sort of think of this as a chairlift directly to the top of the mountain, because we've strategically extracted all of those really important experiences that led to skill development, and we've created them within a training curriculum. And that's fundamentally what competency-based training tries to do. It tries to intelligently take the experiences that help people achieve competence to give them sort of a straight line towards competence, rather than happening to encounter those things during the course of your experience. So competence itself is something that can be kind of tricky to understand. So you can say, you know what, I kind of get it. I get the idea that not every hour is the same. There are some hours that are full of unique and challenging learning experiences, and then there are other hours where it's just the exact same as the last 20 hours you've done, and you don't really gain anything by that hour in itself. So everybody sort of knows not every hour is equal. So that's, you can kind of set aside that that's sort of a known fact. But then you think about, well, how do we take a competency-based approach, and how do we design a curriculum around it, and how do we assess? And there's a lot of unknowns in that process. So one of the things that my co-authors and I did when we were writing our book on competency-based education was we took the definition of competence and we kind of broke it into three categories. And in my mind, that helps me a lot in trying to sort of frame my understanding of what it means. So if you think about competence, the word itself, competence can be thought of as what professionals actually do. So when a professional can act autonomously, so they're independent and they're able to act as a professional, they can be considered competent. Now, competencies themselves are written descriptions of what professionals do. So competencies are literally written statements that people write down describing competence. But it's important to understand that there's always going to be a gap there. There's going to be a gap between competency statements and the actual competence that people have. And the reason for this is that if I were to ask you right now, grab a piece of paper and write down every element of the knowledge, skill, and attitude that you require to do your job competently, well, you can start to understand that as soon as you put pen to paper, you're going to probably be losing some of the intricacies and challenges of what your job actually entails. So it's important to understand competencies are written by people, and they're a reflection of competence, but they may not be a perfect reflection of what it is. And then competency-based education, which is an example of the multi-crew pilot license, is a training system that uses competency statements as an indication of the outcome of training. So within competency-based education, the idea is that when you've mastered a skill, you're able to move on to the next training challenge, that you're not forced to keep doing that for 5 more hours because the regulation says we need X number of hours before you can move on. So back in 2000, ICAO held an informal meeting in Madrid to try to talk about what we could do for the future of licensing and training. And so that led ICAO to create the Flight Crew License and Training Panel in 2002, and they started using the term competencies. And that work grew to the idea that the foundation of having 1,500 hours for the Airline Transport Pilot License, the ATPL, does not directly relate to competence. That there's nothing that makes 1,500 a magical number that is sort of a benchmark between whether you are ready or not ready to serve as captain in an airline. So they wanted to create a pathway around the traditional process that would not replace it. And the reason why they didn't scrap the existing model is because they didn't want to take away something that would make the entire world out of compliance. So they didn't want to sort of disrupt the practice of the entire industry. Because the reality is aviation has a long history of excellent training. So they wanted another pathway around that would get people to competence more quickly without disrupting the traditional flow through the private, commercial, and airline transport pilot licenses. So the multi-crew pilot license, or the MPL, was really one of the first competency-based pilot licenses, and the idea was that they wanted to take people off the street with no aviation experience and be able to create a very efficient and effective way to help them develop competence as a pilot so that they could serve in the right seat of an airline as a first officer. So they created competency units that were related to the different phases of flight that a pilot would have to go through. They also considered non-technical skills, which are sort of human factors and interpersonal skills. The MPL uses a high amount of technology in their teaching, so a lot of simulator-based instruction. And I think what's really unique about the multi-crew pilot license is that from day one, these trainees are taught how to be an airline pilot. Now, that's quite different from the way we train pilots in North America, where you're traditionally taught to fly small planes and then you evolve through the course of many hours of experience to learn how to fly at the airline level. So the multi-crew pilot license is very much based on an instructional systems design process, or an ISD process, and it really created a blueprint for how we could create competence in these young people in the most effective and efficient way possible. So this led to a PANS training document, which is an ICAO document that included competency-based methods for pilots. Subsequent to that, ICAO developed competency frameworks also for maintenance personnel and air traffic controllers. It is expected that eventually Annex 1 will be revised to include these competency frameworks. So these revisions are probably expected around 2019 or 2020. But I'm going to talk through some of the advantages and disadvantages of the approach. So it's important to understand that the traditional pathway that we have to create pilots is excellent. It's tried, tested, and it works around the world in a very safe and effective way. So there are both good things and potentially negatives with competency-based training. So one of the biggest advantages is personalization. So in a competency-based training and licensing process, learners progress at their own pace. So this means that if you're advanced, you're able to skip ahead. And if you're struggling, you get a little bit of extra time or support to better understand what you're trying to learn. So this focus on competencies rather than on time or hours really creates an individualized, flexible approach to training, which has been shown to improve learner motivation, to better increase skill development, and it can actually result in shorter training times. So in this framework, you often, when you talk about competencies and you talk to a training manager, they'll say, well, that's ridiculous, because if Joe takes 50 hours to learn something that everybody else can learn in 1 hour, well, I frankly don't have the time to give them all those extra hours. And that's absolutely a fair statement, that training time in a multi-crew pilot license or a competency-based approach is seen as a resource rather than the entire organizing framework for instruction. So you absolutely would put limits on the number of hours that you dedicate to a person to learn a certain skill. But the point is that they can sort of allocate those hours based on where they're best needed. Another potential advantage of competency-based training is that it does allow for standardization. So it's based on the standardized understanding of the knowledge, skill, and attitudes required by a professional within their field. So this creates the list of competencies, and it's standardized often globally, which creates this uniform understanding around the entire world. So the advantage of that is that it should standardize training practices around the world, but it also has a potential disadvantage, and that's that when everything is very standardized, it can actually undervalue personal reflection, responsibilities, and ideals. So standardization can be too limiting. It can cause learners to only be understood in terms of conformity and sameness. So that can be a potential challenge, because we want to teach trainees to think critically and creatively and come up with their own unique solutions. And so sometimes you can find that competency-based training is so limiting that it doesn't help develop those skills. So as a quick summary, competencies are the written statements that describe what professionals do in their job. So they generally define the knowledge, the skill, and the attitude that professionals apply. So when these competency statements are written down, then they can be used as a reference for competency-based training. So it's a new approach to training, which really tries to streamline the training process to help expedite a learner's progress from being a trainee to being a functional professional. So the advantages of this is that it's very real-world oriented. So we're trying to get away from the idea where you finish training and you enter the workplace and somebody says, now forget what you learned in the classroom, I'll teach you how it's done in the real world. So we want to make sure that the training and real-world needs are actually very closely aligned. So this training, again, it's personalized. It allows people to really tailor their training to what they need. So there's a lot of advantages to it. So the competency-based approach is really what underlies the multi-crew pilot license. Now, if you're a learner and you're exploring this, what you'll find is that, particularly in the Asian areas, a lot of airlines will use the multi-crew pilot license, and they'll call it something like a cadet program. So in the cadet program, airlines will recruit people off the street with no previous aviation experience, and then they will pay for all of their training, and that trainee will earn an MPL, or a multi-crew pilot license. That license gives them the privilege to work as a first officer in that specific airline. And generally, it takes 18 months from training to completion. And then once you're actively flying the line, then that trainee is expected to give a term of service back to the company, which could be 5 to 7 years. If they leave the company before they've sort of paid back that time, then they would have to pay a training bond back to the airline. So it's a really interesting and innovative approach, but I think what's important for students to understand it is that it's a very new approach, that it's a bit of a sidestep from the traditional way we have licensed and trained pilots, and it absolutely is a reflection of the growing need for aviation professionals in our industry. So thank you for tuning into the podcast. I hope that's been helpful, and I look forward to future episodes.